And we're live.
Welcome back, everyone. Episode 89 of Kids Deserve It. We hope you've been enjoying our weekly chats with educators and game changers from around the country. Also, don't forget, you can check us out on iTunes.
And while you're checking us out on iTunes, make sure you leave a review as we are selecting different winners each week to win an autographed book set.
Also, don't forget to check out our Kids Deserve It chat on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. This week, we got another great guest, but first we want to introduce ourselves. I am Adam Welcome, Director of Innovation in the Bay Area of California.
I'm Todd Nesloni, Elementary School Principal in Navasota, Texas. And our special guest this week is Michael Bonner. Michael, we are thrilled to have you here. Thanks so much.
Thank you, man. It is a pleasure to be here with you. You two phenomenal educators. So I'm just excited to be on you guys' show, man.
Awesome. We also want to remind our viewers that you can participate on social media using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt, whether you are watching this live or listening to the recording later.
So, Michael, we got some questions for you, man. So for those that don't know about you, tell us about yourself.
My name is Michael Bonner. I am a fifth-year teacher here in Greenville, North Carolina. I teach at a Title I school with 100% free and reduced lunch. So we experience different types of things there. But it's a beautiful group of kids, and I sort of bust on the scene in a way by being random and creating some type of video for my kids as an incentive for passing a reading test, and next thing I know, Ellen DeGeneres calls, so here I am.
That's awesome.
Well, you know, speaking of exciting things, you also have a new book coming out this week, and I am so pumped about it. So can you kind of tell us a little bit about the background behind it and kind of what you're most excited about with the book?
Well, the beautiful thing I've learned inside of education that we all serve in different demographics in different arenas and in different locations. And it so happened that I landed inside of a Title I school. And if you are familiar with poverty, you know that dealing with children that go through those dysfunctional lifestyles, oftentimes they display certain amounts of behavior that can be very frustrating. And I found out my third year of teaching, I'm like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Like, this is too much. I'm tired of dodging chairs. I'm tired of being verbally abused by a 7-year-old who's shorter than my kneecap. I think I'm done. And I took that summer, man, and did a lot of self-reflection, which they talk about, you know, educators should often mention, and I mention it a lot. And I decided to change some things within myself. And next thing I know, Ellen happened. So it's a great book. It's called Get Up or Give Up, How I Almost Gave Up on Teaching. And I think every educator comes to that crossroad, no matter where they are in life, because our profession is such a noble one, but it also can wear you down when you're giving it your all.
Yeah,
100%. So, Michael, what do you feel is the most important and urgent issue right now in education?
The most urgent issue inside of education right now, in my professional opinion, is training educators not only on cultural competence, but making sure that we're keeping relationships first. I think we become so heavy with the word rigor that we fail to recognize when you fail to build a proper relationship with your classroom and create an environment that is suitable for learning, proper learning cannot really take place. I know this quote, I don't know who it was originated by, but it says, students do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I firmly believe that. And I've learned it in my own practice that whenever I really take the time to build the relationships with my students, magical things happen, man.
Well, you know, and I teach in a school very similar to yours, and so I know exactly what you're talking about. And, you know, kids are kids regardless of their socioeconomic status, but there's different things that come with different kinds of kids. And no matter what kind of kids you serve, those relationship piece, if you keep that front and foremost, it allows you to do so much more than you could without that. But thinking about you and your teaching career, where do you kind of draw your inspiration from? Did you always know that you wanted to be a teacher?
No, not at all. Initially, I had the standard young man dream of being a professional player somewhere in some type of league. But then it transitioned to psychology because it always fascinates me how the brain works, even down to the physiological part of it. But then I got tired of writing 20-page APA formatted papers on depression. What do I love to do? And I always loved working with kids in community service and with high school. So I'm just going to elementary education. The brains are more malleable at that level. I don't think I can deal with the disrespect inside of middle school and high school. So I took my shot, man. And it's been some times, but I've had a blast since, man.
Nice. So what was school like growing up for you?
I went to a Title I school myself. So my classmates and myself at times, and my cousins were the ones causing trouble, being those behavior problems. But I had a two-parent household, that was huge in my development as a student and in my impact on me as far as education. So I always enjoyed school. I loved being around different individuals that I knew. But I always had that switch. That's why I can recognize in certain children, I can cut it on and be great and exceed, or I can sort of be mediocre. So my experience at school was pretty good. I had some amazing educators, but it could have been better if I would have understood the value of education in today's society.
Nice. Well, you know, you've mentioned it several times, but I've got to ask about the Ellen Show. Yeah. So how did that even come up? And I want to know, like what was the most powerful moment that came from that?
Wow. So the show came up, they called in October after the video went viral here in Greenville, North Carolina. And I didn't expect it to go do that at all. I was just, the kids wanted the bet. If you win, 15, 14 of you all pass, I'll post it online. So next thing I know, I'm at the school and we're at lunch and they were like, hey, you have a phone call at the front office. I'm like, who's calling me at the front office? I can't come to the office. There's kids here at the lunchroom. So I had to get my kids, throw the trash away. I go to the front office and my administrators are just sitting there with this look like this. I'm like, okay, who's on the phone? Is it the parent, like, about to fuss me out? And when I pick up the phone, there's this sweet individual. I still know her to this day, Courtney. And she was like, hey, this is the producer from the Ellen Show, and we want to know about you, more about you. So next thing you know, the school erupted. Everybody loves Ellen. And then I didn't hear from them for 2 months. So 2 months, the entire city and my school is buzzing, and I don't hear anything. And they finally call back and say, we want to film you, your classroom, so you can be the first teacher on Ellen's Teacher Web Series, and then we'll fly you out to the show as a thank you. It's like, of course you can come to our school. Come check it out. Come see this barbed wire surrounding our school. And man, they did that, and I flew out to California for a week. There was a snowstorm in North Carolina. I still got there, and they surprised me. That show was real. I had no idea they were going to do that.
Wow.
And the biggest thing I took from it was when they flew my class out the second time. And for a week, you know, it was great. You know, we were all back on Ellen. They met Big Sean and we did a music video with Ellen and they were on Warner Brothers Studios. But the biggest thing for me was for an entire week, I was able to give students who are used to a certain lifestyle of lacking basic needs. And for a week, they were living like children in upper class, like they fresh bed, fresh sheets, anything they wanted to eat, every enjoyable entertainment activity they wanted to do, we did. And that was the biggest thing for me. And for a week, they were able to just be kids. It was beautiful.
I love that so much. That's so awesome.
Yeah. So Michael, who's someone that inspires you or challenges you to be better?
I have some teammates at the school, recent educators and people that always push me to really step up my game. Jennifer Jackson was my first mentor, my first year teaching fifth grade, and she was always on point with whatever she did. And I would say Ron Clark. I've had a great chance to talk with him and chat with him. But the reason why I mention him is because I think people do not understand how hard educators work that are sort of in the national spotlight, like you and Ty yourself. Like it's a different ballgame. It's a different work ethic because you have people pulling for your knowledge while at the same time trying to keep the same energy to do your job and produce results. So I admire him, and he inspires me, him and Kim Bearden and Brandon Fleming and all those guys, because they embrace the platform, but at the same time, they still continually produce results. And in whatever we do in life, it doesn't matter, you know, if you have a moment or whatever the case may be, if you fail to continually produce, it's going to go away. So I admire individuals like them and yourself.
Well, I got to say, you do incredible work, and we've been learning from you, and I know that when I came to Adam DeVico, you went and visited his school too, and so I love that you're kind of doing the same thing and reaching out to people and spreading your own genius and own brilliance with others instead of just keeping it all for you. So thank you for what you're doing too. But my question anyway, on side note, is, you know, we all have those days that despite how great this job is, and just like the title of your book, where it's a rough day and it's tough to get out of bed maybe. And so what do you kind of do to kick your butt into gear in those moments?
The unique thing about educators, man, we're phenomenal. I don't care what anybody says. That's why I love this platform. I want to brag on us to the day I die. Like, teachers are absolutely amazing. And the unique thing about us is that we know the answer to our dilemma. But I think we're so engaged and locked in, we have to have those moments of when we step back and take the weight off of us and find a place to get away. So the first day of school, this little girl came in and she did not want to do the work because she didn't want to be in school. So she ripped up my worksheet packet, tore it and spread it all across the floor. And that day, instead of stressing about, you know, my lesson plan for the day, I went home and took a deep breather and pulled out my notebook. What strategies can I use to help this child so her behavior will not take an effect on her academic growth? And it's just days I have to literally remind myself to remove myself. So I had to go take a walk, go hang out with some coworkers, because we know that we have to get the job done. We know we should differentiate our lessons. We know we should build relationships with kids. We know we should be creative inside of the classroom. But I think it's very important for us to recognize that when an individual lacks the mindset to take care of themselves first, especially an educator, you will end up depleting yourself faster. So those days I'm burnt out, I literally step away from education, go play the PlayStation 4. I go do something fun to get my mind off of it.
You know, I love that you said that, because like that balance piece, you know, like being fanatical about our jobs and education is so important, but you got to step away. You got to turn the phone off or just do something else and clear the head, because you can just be so swimming in it. It's like you just can't see any clarity. So I love the message. All right, man. Every week we like our guests to leave a challenge for our viewers. What is your challenge for the week?
My challenge for the week is to build a relationship with a student or coworker who does not look like you or does not come from where you come from. I believe we're in a situation right now inside of our nation where things are becoming really crazy and people are verbalizing how they really feel, which is great because you can see where people truly stand. And I believe as educators, as gatekeepers, we have the responsibility of our amazing job to reach out to different cultures and individuals and find ways that we can engage all kids, not just the kids in Mr. Bonner's classroom or just not the kids in my school, the kids in Texas and kids in California, to try to find ways that we can really change this next generation that's coming up so we can really empower and have a great future in America.
Nice. Awesome. Well, Michael, thank you so much for being a guest on our show this week. It has been wonderful to add your perspective to the mix and getting to spread a little bit of what you're doing.
Thank you, man. It is my pleasure. You two are phenomenal, and I will definitely continue to follow you guys in case you drop any nuggets so I can use them myself.
Love it. Love it.
Well, we want to also thank our listeners and viewers. Remember, you can tweet us using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt. Don't forget to go on to iTunes and leave a review as we select a winner each week. Make sure you leave your Twitter handle so we can contact you about your prize. And also, don't forget you can join our Twitter chats every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific. See everybody next week.